Amen. Thank you, Father. thank you, Lord. Tonight's teaching is going to be gems in the book of Chronicles. So here's a gem. And how it was discovered, because good old Rotherham pointing things out. What a teacher this guy was. Here's a word here you might want to look at. Here's another word. Here's Rotherham. His name's Yahweh. Here's these other things. Here's words that said. But there's a short little testimony that I want to share with you guys that I got recently got reproved that I was just reminded of. This has nothing to do with the teaching, but I just finished paying a lot of bills, and so I paid a lot of bills, and I looked at how much was left in my account. If it just like that, just looked at how much was left in the account. Well, because I got to find all that money again for the next month. Thinking, but just for just a second, Christ gave me a reproval, which is like a 5-minute sermon, but you can communicate that quick. And he was like, "Can you imagine after that I fed the 5,000 when they brought back the bread and the fish? If they started complaining, how much was left?" And I was like, "Holy moly! That's all that's left." I mean, but here I was going, paying bills. I'm looking at it, and here's a stressful thing. I went, I repent. So I'm guilty. But give us this day our daily bread. But okay, so for tonight's teaching, so I need some audience participation, and it's going to be people that have really studied the Old Testament or the Book of Samuel. What is common knowledge about the prophet Samuel's family? Can anybody tell us some common knowledge? Mm. Not his parents.
What do we know about the prophet Samuel's sons died? They weren't in the word.
That was Eli, the priest's sons. So that's close.
Oh, I thought Samuel.
His sons, yeah, they were not righteous judges.
You know.
His sons were not righteous judges. And this is why King Saul became king, because they come to Samuel and said, "Your sons do not follow in your ways, give us a king." Mm-hmm. So part of them saying we want a king was Samuel's sons. It's part of the story. So what do we know from the scriptures about Samuel's sons? It is extortion, bribery. It's actually 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. But before we go any farther, turn to page 288. We're going to read an introduction that Joseph Rotherham has. After the book of Ruth. Ruth?
Did you say 288?
Page 288 in the Hebrew scriptures.
Suggestive genealogy.
And so, on the suggestive genealogy, if somebody would just read the first two sentences.
One of the greatest charms of the Bible is to be found in its genealogies. Commonly considered to be as dry as dust, it may safely be affirmed that in the dust lie hidden grains of purest gold. Mm.
Every word in here is for profit. Even boring things. And I remember I worked with my brother-in-law who went to sleep, I don't know, 10 or 12 years. I loved going over to his office because he had the funniest stories. He had a similar sense of humor, telling stories and jokes. I'd known him my whole life. I mean, he married my sister when I was 10. I'm, probably 40 years old. And fast forward to I'm 40, so I've known him for 30 years. You would think I'd known every story this guy's ever said. Every funny story, right? I sat in his office, and all of a sudden he starts telling me a funny story. I'm like, "You've been holding that on me. Have you ever had that? Where somebody's got something, and why didn't you ever tell me that story?" That's our Father. That's His Word. And here these things are. And this suggestive genealogy is right after the genealogy of Ruth. And you read the very last verse, and somebody to read that.
And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David.
So Ruth was the great-great-grandmother of King David. Mm-hmm. So what came of this through the genealogy is David came from Boaz, and this story of Moabite's woman is going to go, boom. So this is right after this. The genealogy can be as dry as dust, but when the author's in the room, wow, what can he do if we humble ourselves? And so now, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 1, and somebody would read that.
And there was a certain man of Ramathaim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elhanan, son of Jeroboam, son of Elihu.
You can stop right there. So it's going to say Ephraimite. This is the father of who?
Samuel,
the prophet, the last judge. And my dad did a teaching on him once and said, David was a king for how many years?
40
years. Okay, that's a good reign. Samuel served Yahweh from probably a six-year-old kid until his death. Mm-hmm. How many years did he serve? You're like, Moses, how many years?
Yeah.
This guy, from the cradle to the grave, who was this? Samuel, the prophet. He was a Nazirite, which he would have really long hair. Unless he got unclean, but who was this guy? Who was his father? Okay, so before this, I said, what do we know about his kids? It's a sad story. Here's the prophet, peacefully do you come, the prophet who killed the king Agag, the prophet that anointed the first king, the prophet that anointed the second king, the prophet. I mean, this is the prophet. I mean, holy moly, who is Samuel? It started from a kid. And it starts, this book at the beginning really is probably a 6 or 7 year old kid sleeping where? In the temple near what?
Yeah.
The Ark of the Covenant. Here's a little kid. Here's a boy, 6 years old. He's a Nazirite. How long is his hair? It's never been cut. Yeah. You don't cut the hair of a Nazirite. His mom said, we won't cut his hair. He's devoted. What did he look like? I don't know. Use your imagination. Maybe dreads. Here's this kid sleeping. His mom made him a ephod. Here's a little priest clothing. Here I am, that thing like an altar boy. And they didn't hear from Yahweh because of their sin. And here is Samuel. Samuel, he gets up. Ready to serve. And that's the beginning of the story. But we'll know in chapter 8, verse 1 and 3. You guys don't have to go there for brevity. I'll read it. But you're going to keep your finger here at chapter 1. And it came to pass when Shamuel was old that he appointed his sons judges over Israel. And they named the first one, son was Yoel or Joel. And the name of the second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Howbeit his sons walked not in his ways, but stooped to extortion, took bribes, perverted judgment. So the elders of the Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel. How do you think he felt?
Humiliated, heartbroken.
Samuel, what did you do wrong with these kids? I mean, it's natural to blame a parent. Mm-hmm. And obviously the apple fell very far from the tree, but you can imagine his heart, and this is going to be his legacy, at least with my life. I've been teaching the word since I was in my 20s, 25 years. Samuel's legacy with his kids, they blew it. It looks like it starts off, he's old. He kept going for a very long time. That's the first, but anyways, now, remember, his father's name is Elkanah, son of Jeroboam, son of Elihu. Now turn, and keep your finger there because you want to look at that so you know I'm not making stuff up. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 1 Chronicles chapter 6. So you have 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles. Okay, so those are the books. We just came from 1 Samuel. How many books is this later? Four books later. So it's not the next page. Let's see here. Chapter 6. Verse 31. If somebody would read that through 35, please.
Want to read it, Wendy, or Dana?
Yeah, I can read it if I can, but you better go.
From these are they whom David caused to stand as the servants of Solomon in the house of Yahweh when he had given rest unto the ark. So they became attendants before the habitation of the tent of meeting with Solomon until Solomon built the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem, and they took their stand according to their prescribed manner over their work. Yea, these are they who stood with the sons of the Korahites, Heman, the singer, son of Joel, son of Samuel, son of Elkanah, son of Jeroboam.
Pause right there. See the footnote above the singer?
Yeah, H.
What's it say, H?
Yeah.
And it's pronounced Haman, or Haman.
Okay.
Haman, the singer, is the grandson of Samuel and descendant from Levi. His pedigree is given here for 22 generations.
Wow.
The grandson of Samuel does what? He's the singer.
Yeah.
He's the famous singer. I never knew about a famous singer, a grandson of Samuel. All I knew was about his two sons for 25 years, and I would not have known about... today, this teaching, I'm going to introduce you to somebody you didn't even know existed.
Mm-hmm.
And this, what I want to introduce you to is a whole other school of thought that I would like to encourage you to use your imagination to start painting some things. And you might start seeing, and I would not have found this guy if it wasn't for that footnote. Because when Rotherham says, a Levite, well, wait a minute. I know for a fact, at 1 Samuel 1, he's from an Ephrathite, or Ephraimite. So I always wondered about that. He's going to say no to Levi. And if it wasn't Rotherham saying this, I probably would have just set it aside. But Rotherham doesn't say things just for saying the sake or to be popular. He gives you gems. But he's going to say he's basically the famous singer of King David, or Samuel. And you can see the pedigree. You see the sons. Mm-hmm. That's the same as 1 Samuel. You got to verify because there are other Hamans.
Yeah.
There's many of them. There's 17, it's mentioned 17 different times. But who is this guy? And what's neat is, verse 31, David caused to stand as the servants of song. And a whole nother teaching was, who was the first one to command to bring music into the temple?
Was that David?
It was King David. There was no music. Mm-hmm. As we know it. They would call it praise and worship today. Church music and stuff. It was not in there. It was through King David, and I think it's later on in Chronicles that Yahweh commands him, I want you to put singers out here. Okay, so there's a new thing. Here's David, he's an instrument. So now you wait, what is this new singing thing? Yahweh told me to do it. Told who? David the prophet. What is this thing? Your job is to make music. Who's going to be in charge? Who's going to be a servant of song? Samuel's grandson. And where was he going to do? It's going to say, in the house of Yahweh when he had given rest into the ark. Do you know where he's singing? In front of the ark. Where his grandfather used to sleep.
Wow. Yeah.
Was David close to Samuel?
Yeah.
Do you think David and this guy Haman ever talked about the grandfather? Hey David, did you ever know about the time my grandfather... Wait. I know a lot about your grandfather, but what's it... And how old is he? Well, guy, I mean, he could be 20 years older than David as far as we know. He's a grandson. But who is this guy? And you know, he also prophesied to David. Who is this guy? A grandson of Samuel prophesied to David. And he was a singer. And he's mentioned over and over again. Never even knew he existed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not mentioned until 4 books later. Mm-hmm. What's Proverbs 25:2? It is the glory of Elohim to hide something.
Yeah.
It's your job to search it out. You gotta look. Look for it. Do this. As I was coming home today, I started thinking about a movie. And if you wanted somebody to see a really good movie, The Passion of the Christ, or some good movie, Sound of Freedom, and somebody goes, tell me about it, and you gave them a glimpse, and they go, no, tell me every single thing that happens, what would you say? No. Watch the movie. It's already done. Mm-hmm. Our Father will do the same thing. Search the scriptures. And if your heart is, I'll start giving you treats. Turn to chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles. And we're going to learn a little bit more about this singer. And what I wanted to title this is The Famous Singer. If you're mentioned for singing in the text...
You got a good voice.
You're well. I'm not gonna say you have a good voice. I'm gonna say you're well pleasing to Yahweh. I don't know. I mean, I would think so. He's a servant of Saul. I doubt he sang like who's the guy from the Little Rascals? Chapter 15, 13 through 19. Verse 13.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because at the first ye did not bring it. Yahweh our God, break forth against us because We sought him not in the appointed way.
This is real important because the gems in the book of Chronicles, there's so many things. If you read 1st and 2nd Kings, you're going to have open and closed. We know what happened. And then Yahweh put stuff in Chronicles to go to... Chronicles is a perspective of Judah, and Yahweh wipes away a lot of their sins and stuff. Solomon doesn't have his mistakes here. I don't think Bathsheba's mistakes in here. It's a whole other perspective. It's like reading the Gospels where you're reading Luke here, now you're reading Mark. What's going on here? The teacher is teaching us something. And here in Chronicles, this is after Uzziah touched the ark and they died. And if you read 1 Samuel, what happened here? 1 Chronicles explains that David goes, nobody's supposed to touch the ark. So we know David had to go back to the scriptures. And he finds this out. Somebody just died. Where were they? Moving the Ark of the Covenant with good intentions, right? So we're just talking about that. You can have good intentions and really upset our Father. So David said, we did not do it the appointed way. We didn't know the scriptures. So the priests and the Levites hollowed themselves to bring up the ark of Yahweh, Elohim of Israel. And the sons of the Levites bear the ark of Elohim just as Moses commanded, according to the word of Yahweh, on their shoulders with staves upon them. And David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to station the brethren, the singers with instruments of songs, footnote, harps, footnote, lyres, cymbals, sounding aloud at the lifting up of the voice for joy. So the Levites caused to stand who?
Haman,
son of Joel. So we know there is other Hamans, son of Joel. And you can go on down to verse 19.
Asaph.
Yeah, in verse 19. And the singers, Haman. And so here's another thing. So where was this guy singing? In front of the ark after somebody died. His dad, his grandfather slept in front of it. Uzziah just died. They wouldn't read the scriptures. David and they were trying to figure out. Their fathers were not faithful. They did not teach them the scriptures. They're going to go, we're not going to commit the same sin of apathy or whatever it was. And here, who was there during all this? One of the singers. One of Samuel's grandsons. And guess who's going to get to read all this? Samuel.
Yeah.
Samuel went to sleep. But at the resurrection, he's going to get to see, hey, one made it! Wow!
Yeah.
I always wondered about you, Haman, or maybe Samuel was there for some. Not this, but he could have saw, Haman, you're the one. You're it. A guy I never knew existed. Now turn to chapter 25, verse 1. And as you turn in there, here he is, the singer, a servant of song. The sing, he's a Kohathite, a Levite, and this is how we know, and actually, if you want to know a riddle, how do we know Samuel is a Levite? Because if you start off with 1 Samuel, it says Ephrathimite, that's somebody from Ephraim, and Ephraimite is not Levite necessarily, so what is that? We don't know. Maybe it was a Levite who lived in Ephraim. Why do I say that? Because 1 Chronicles is going to say he's a Levite. From a Kohathite. Actually, we just read that in chapter 6. The Kohathites, I'm probably saying that wrong, were a descendant of the Levi. And so that's how you travel. So it was a Levi. Okay? And you would not know that without Chronicles. Somebody would read chapter 25, verse 1.
And David and the captains of the host set apart for service unto the sons of Asaph and Haman and Jeduthun such as should prophesy.
So should what?
Should prophesy.
Who prophesied?
Haman, the sons of Asaph. And
I got to start reading some of this at first, I'm like, there's no way. How many times have I read this and been teaching about Samuel and the rest of this stuff? And here's Haman, such as should prophesy. And you start using my imagination going, can you imagine David receiving prophecies from Haman? And here's Yahweh being honored. You're like, him singing songs with David. David with songs. Who is this guy? That's Samuel's grandson. Are you kidding me? What did they say to Samuel when he came to Bethlehem? To anoint Jesse's sons.
Yeah.
We know about you, man. And if he's a Nazirite, if he hadn't cut his hair because he was unclean, he probably would have looked like John the Baptist. These guys. But is he famous? Yes, he's famous. That's the grandson or great-grandson of Donald Trump. Are you serious? But who is this guy? And you imagine, and he's prophesying. How do you prophesy? You have to be holy. He's a holy Levite that's prophesying. Never even knew he existed. And if you turn to chapter 25, now here's where it even... Who's writing about this guy?
Yahweh.
Yahweh is. What's he going to write about us? This is our instruction, but what is Yahweh going to write about our own life? Nothing goes unnoticed. What's the point of doing teachings if nobody's listening, or write songs if nobody's listening? What's the point of doing research if I'm not teaching? I need to have a teaching so I can learn how to study. You're missing your mark. That way your heart is your treasure is. Because you could be the best teacher on the planet and never taught anybody. Because what? I don't have anybody who wants to learn right now. I'm padding that resume. Because there's going to be people that need to be... And when is Christ coming back? Any moment. Any moment. Any moment. And he's watching. Can you imagine somebody studying the scriptures and nobody wants... 99% of the world don't want to know the scriptures? Well, what's the point of studying if I don't have ears to hear? You know my son's coming back, right? You know there's going to need to be teachers. What do you think requires more faith? The teacher room in an assembly hall where everybody gets in lines and they sign up at a seminary to do teachings that nobody even sees?
Yeah.
What requires more faith? To be in front of stage with everybody, right? No, that doesn't require as much faith as somebody to study, to do teachings nobody's going to read. Maybe they're not. But that's the point of all this. Where were we?
25,
4 through 7. Would somebody read that?
It's a lot of names. When do you do that?
Well, I'll read it. Of Haman, the sons of Haman, his sons, Bukiah, Mattaniah, Uzziel, Shebuel, Yeromoth, Hananiah, Hanai, Eliathath, Gidelite, Ramiel, Ezir,
Josh Bakashak,
Malithui, yeah. Hothur, Mahazur. Who cares? Yahweh cares. How many sons does he have? You keep reading, I'll do the math for you. All of these sons of Haman, the what of the king? The seer of the king there?
Yeah, the seer of the king.
How many sons does he have?
14. Three daughters.
Do you remember Elkanah? And one of the notes says that they believe that he had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a paragraph Bible believes that Peninnah was a concubine because they couldn't have children. And here it is, going to go, because she has all these children, Peninnah, but his wife, his love was for Hannah. And she was blessed after she gave Samuel. What happened to her? How many children did she have? I think she had five.
Yeah, five.
Look at He-Man, or Haman. 14 sons, and how many daughters?
Three.
17 children. How cool is that? Here's King David walking and going, oh, look at all these great, there's Samuelites everywhere. And why did Yahweh mention these guys? They're famous. They're very, very, very famous. Not like their father or their grandfather. Here's just 17 of these guys. Boom! And the seer, a prophet. Think about King David sitting with Samuel's son, receiving prophecies from Samuel's grandson. I said his son, but his son. And you're going to go. And now, turn to Psalms 88, page 575. So this teaching was really an introduction to somebody. Psalm 88. So the purpose of this teaching was to introduce you to some of you guys to somebody I didn't know existed. And somebody I have a lot in common with. Why? Because I love Yahweh's heroes. I didn't even know this guy existed. How many times have I read this name over and over and over again? Never registered, not once. Until the footnote.
Now what is your psalm?
Psalm 88. That's page 575. Now this is not scripture. But it was interesting because when I read that footnote by Rotherham, he doesn't explain all those things we just found out. And I'm like, wait a minute. Because he says blessings are 14 generations. And I'm like, I think I would have hurt Rotherham. Come on, your credibility here. And Rotherham just doesn't, he doesn't cut your meat for you. Yeah. And then you go to the 25th chapter, 4 through 7, and he goes, here's 14 of them. And you got to go, why didn't he say he's a seer too? I mean, a prophet? To me, a singer or a prophet or to prophesy, but did somebody read the beginning of the right above Psalm 88?
A song, a melody for the sons of Korah to the chief musicians on Mahalath for an alternate song, an instructive psalm by Haman the Ezraite.
Now that is not in the scriptures. And so as far as I know, is that it? Okay. Because it's before verse 1. So I wasn't sure about it. I was going to put a disclaimer. But because if you Google this guy, Haman, it's spelled Haman. There used to be a cartoon, easy way for me to remember. I never forgot his name. Because He-Man was like a Conan. It was an action figure. With Israel and I grew up, so every time we saw He-Man, we're like, yeah. But here it is, and if you Google, if you read about Psalms 88, it talked about him writing, Yahweh writing this psalm to King David. It's supposed to be one of the saddest psalms there are. I haven't even read it. But I invite you guys to consider reading, and so I wasn't sure if that's actually in the scriptures or not. Who is this guy? Didn't even know he existed. What I was hoping is, as I started learning about this guy Haman, guess whose life also started blossoming? Samuel's. You know, I never thought about Samuel's wife. Mm-hmm. Why would I? All of a sudden, I just stopped and I went, I wonder if she cooked dinner for Saul. Because when Saul was going to go get anointed, they set aside a shoulder for him, and then that night, Samuel and Saul are on the rooftop, and Samuel, the seer, is telling him all about being a king. Who's making the snacks? I don't know. Who made sure Saul had, the new king, had a blanket up there? I don't know. Does the scripture say anything about his wife? No. But it doesn't call him a widow or a widower. And I never thought about that. And here's Samuel's wife. Who was she? I don't know. And I wonder if she ever cooked for David. You think of David going back to Samuel, I always think of him by himself on a circuit or something, but I never even considered there's a wife possibly somewhere in there. Another story. And these are things that I never even considered if I had not read the footnote of Rotherham. Yeah. And Yahweh doesn't cut everything up for us. It makes it easy. I would have never found that out if I would have stopped reading. But I've been reading cover to cover. And four books later... Four books later, all of a sudden, Yahweh goes, oh, by the way, he had a grandson who was very famous. Very, very famous. I gave him 17 children. He prophesied before David. He danced before the ark. Can you imagine if you heard, turn on the radio, somebody started talking about this descendant. Samuel's grandson prophesied to King David, danced before the ark. Yeah, whatever you're adding to the text. I would have thought. But here it is. So it starts off. For 25 years, maybe more, of my own life, what I knew about Samuel, what I understood, what I knew about his legacy is he had two unfaithful children. That's kind of sad to me. It was really sad. Unfaithful children. Do you guys know what Haman or Haman means in Hebrew? Strong's number H539. It means faithful.
Is that right?
Isn't that cool? Yahweh kind of closes the book on Samuel. Faithful. How neat is that? Because Moses had a grandson who was not faithful. He was in the book of Judges. They even changed his name because they didn't want to be tied. He's the one where they stole the household gods of the Danites, and it's really odd. But here's Samuel. I don't mean that as a knock towards Moses, but as an elevation towards Samuel. And the point is, keep reading. Search in the scriptures. Uh-huh. The author is right here with us. And just imagine what's waiting for each one of you behind one of these scriptures, one verse. And that was just one footnote. So.
Wow. Okay. I got to go home and read Chronicles again.
Father, we thank you for it is the glory of Elohim to conceal a matter. And it is the purpose of our lives to seek it out. The purpose of our lives is to produce faith. The purpose of our life is to be asking, be knocking, be seeking. Thank you, Father, for your word, for Rotherham, and for tonight. And thank you for these words. Know, my children, that as I have you right now, I have you bundled in my arms. You have peace, every one of you right now. You have excitement. And I want you to hold on to this as Mary held my son when he was born. Embrace it and enjoy this peace and this fellowship that I have with you, because it's the purpose of your existence. And if you can hold this fellowship each day and protect it, then you will excel above anything you imagine, and your book could be even greater than Samuel's.
Amen.